Is anyone else just constantly worrying? I feel like it can't just be me, but I feel like worry should be my middle name. But I have recently discovered Cover My Bubble. Cover My Bubble are a family insurance company who started their business in memory of their daughter. When Lilybeth passed away, they didn't have any insurance and lost Emma's income into the family, which was very difficult. They are here to help families with affordable insurances such as life, critical illness, income protection, children's cover and bump cover. Yep, children can be covered too. Now Emma loves a question, so why not reach out to her at Cover My Bubble and let her help you. Hello and welcome back to Tits, Tums and All Things Mum. I am here with the lovely Alina today. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Good. So, can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure thing. So, I'm Alina Ghost. I am a freelancer in digital marketing, so I am a working mum. Mm-hmm. I am a mum of a four-year-old called Aiden, and I am actually raising him bilingual too, so probably speak about that a little bit later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how is it being a working mum though? Like you work from home as well sometimes, don't you?
So I work from home full time.
Yeah.
So I freelance in digital marketing, but I do content creation on the side as well. So literally my life revolves around my kid and work. Gets full on for sure.
Yeah, but is he in school or is he not yet
in school? He's in preschool.
Oh, okay.
So he's going to school in September, which is exciting.
So you've got that kind of like, you're having to work sometimes when he's at home, but other times he is at preschool, so it's a bit easier.
Absolutely, yeah. Nanny and granddad do help out as well a couple of days a week.
Amazing.
But, I can work in the evenings if I have to, which I do a lot. But at the same time, it just means no downtime. So I have to like force myself to like calm down and have some relaxing time.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. Literally, once the kids are down, I'm like, right, work mode.
Yeah.
But then actually it gets to like midnight and I'm like, I haven't watched any telly. Yeah. I haven't chilled. I haven't, you know, had a bath or whatever. And you're just like, my God, when do I get time?
Absolutely. I don't remember the last time I watched TV.
Yeah.
No, it's a weird thing to say, but
I know.
I guess my hobby is content creation. Yeah. So it seems like I don't do anything else apart from
I know.
That.
Although I'm addicted to maths, Married at First Sight at the moment. Yeah, and I'm like, I'm not, not working as much as I should be. But once that's over, it's back in work mode. So you talk about you said earlier about being bilingual and raising your son bilingual. Could you give us a little bit of a backstory of your life so far?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm actually Russian. I was born in Russia. I moved when I was one. I actually feel very much British and English because like I've been here most of my life. I think in English, but at the same time I wanted to give my son a base of that second language. I think it's so important, just like for my family's sake as well. Obviously, he's got family who still speak Russian and everything. But also, I've heard so many good benefits around like being bilingual too. So I wanted to give him a base to help him out. Apparently, it helps like with dementia in later life. There's some research around it helps like prevent or at least slow down Alzheimer's as well. Okay. So there's those factors. But also, like if he wanted to expand his language, so that base, and make it into more like I don't know, more into a professional career, into a translator perhaps, or at least I can give him that.
Amazing. That's kids pick up languages much quicker when they're younger. Like us trying to learn a language would be really quite hard, but kids tend to just pick it up so easily. So how is he finding that?
Absolutely. I think from day one I decided I'm definitely going to teach him this. My sister did something similar with my nieces who are older. And basically it's through play. You learn language through play, and so it's much easier. And what I actually found is because I've been with my husband 16 years, but actually he's learned more Russian in the past 4 years that we've had our son.
Yeah.
More so in the past 4 years than the previous, let's say 10 years before that.
Yeah.
Just because it's through play, it's through repetition, and he's just finding it so much easier to learn because he doesn't know anything else.
And so what else did your family life entail? You talk about
a lot of trying to navigate motherhood and coming out of poverty. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you can imagine like an immigrant family moving countries and spending their fortune moving countries. So literally they couldn't and don't have a house, you know, like property is like not something that they think of because they don't have the money for it. They spent all that money that you could have spent on a deposit, let's say, on moving. So we ended up, I grew up in East London. So I used to speak very differently many years ago. It was the whole man and bruv and everything, believe it or not. But yeah, basically, I didn't have much money to do stuff that I can provide for my son now. I've worked really hard in my career in digital marketing to like get really into a state where I can work where when I want to, basically, and provide things that I hadn't had before, like going things like soft play. I never heard of that, you know. I never had that kind of stuff. And yeah, he's just very, I don't want to say spoiled, but very much enjoying all the luxuries.
Oh, I love that. It's so hard not to spoil your kids though, isn't it? Like we went to Odd's Farm yesterday and I don't want to spoil my kids, right? But I have the money to be able to get them nice things. So it's that finding that balance, isn't it? Like every gift shop you go in, my kids are like, I want that, I want that, I want that. And it's like, okay, I want to get those things for you because you want them, but I also don't want you to think that you can just have whatever you want and that money is just, you know, freely available. So how do you kind of navigate that with your son?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want like my kids to be like, I want this and demand it and think that that's a normal thing. So I think from my point of view, I keep repeating and saying the same things of like, yes, I can get that for you, but how does mommy get that for you? Oh, she works and she works to have the money to be able to do that. So I think the other day he actually told me, oh, I want this thing, or like the other thing is like value of items. He was breaking something or about to, like, you know how kids do, they smash it on the table. I'm like, you don't smash it, you actually look after it, because we're not going to buy you a new one. He's like, yeah, you will buy a new one. I'm like, no, because you're not looking after your things. And I was like, and how do we get our things? And he's like, mommy works. I'm like, yes, that's absolutely it. So it's just about repeating, I don't know, from my point of view, I don't know if it's right or wrong, but it's just being, making them aware that money doesn't grow on trees, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's also difficult because I'm very much, I love the whole law of attraction thing and like making, almost thinking that money does grow on trees and you can access all the money, but also not making them spoil. So it's like that balance, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you're so right in what you're saying about the value of things. Bella picked up this little crappy squidgy teddy bear at the zoo yesterday. You know, one of those squeezy things, you squeeze it and its eyes pop out.
Oh yeah.
It was a fiver, £5 for that. And I was like, absolutely not, you're not having that. I was like, you can buy something like educational, you can buy something that you're actually going to play with. You're not buying like a piece of plastic for a fiver. And she was like, but it's only £5. I was like, only £5 for that. And it's just having to like teach them, isn't it? Like how much £5 actually is for some, like a lump of plastic.
Yeah. And it's, you know that those items can be so much cheaper elsewhere as well, especially when you go out. But yeah, it's just buying them items that you know they're not going to play with, or they're going to forget, or they're going to break so easily. So to give you an example, we went to Science Museum last week, got some kazoos, those things that make like, that noise, the most annoying thing in the world. I don't know why I said yes.
I was going to say, why did you say yes to that? My kids got whistles in a gift bag the other day and I was like, why would any parent put that on us? Seriously,
they did that to annoy you. Sure.
But yeah, have you got constant kazoos around your house now?
So no, basically we went upstairs to one of the things in the science museums, but they have this lobby in the middle where you can look over, and it's like the main attraction, which is like the main lobby. So my son accidentally drops his kazoo straight onto one of the like attraction, or like, you know, the, I think it was an engine actually, like an old train engine. So had the whole thing of like, firstly, look after your things. You can't just drop it.
Yeah.
Two stories down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And secondly, we have to, you'll probably not get this back and I'm not getting you a new one.
Yeah.
You have to look after your things.
Yeah.
And had to find a technician. Luckily, he actually managed to go and get it.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, retrieve it for us, which is amazing.
Gosh. And have you started putting like chores in place so that he can start to actually earn his money?
So not for money yet. So no pocket money yet.
Yeah.
Obviously, I like him to do things around the house and help out when he is older. So it's the usual things like you need to put your dressing gown back on the hook, or like put your shoes in the porch. You can't just be throwing. Well, the other reason for that is because the dog takes it. He loves shoes.
Yeah.
But also putting PJs away, and looking after his bedroom. And
Yeah, amazing. We've got my eldest doing chores. We've got a list of chores and what they're worth, monetary value. The thing is, she now knows that if she does the one thing that earns her the most money, that's how she gets the most money. And I'm like, okay, kudos to you for like working that out.
Smart.
And because, you know, if we could all get the highest paid job, we'd go for it. But she does that one thing over and over again just to get the higher amounts of money, which is...
I call that smart.
It's smart, yeah. But I also would love the other jobs to be done.
Yeah,
so I'm
course,
like, come on. But she's terrible at keeping her room tidy. Mm. Her room is a constant shithole, honestly. And I've said to her now that anything that's on her bedroom floor goes in a black bag in the loft, and she can get it back when she learns to keep her room tidy.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I think I did that with our kitchenette. So I call the kitchenette the play kitchen.
Yeah.
Kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, he just ended up throwing all the items on the floor. So he took all the vegetables, you know, the fake plastic plates and everything all around the living room. And I'm like, if you're not going to look after it, I'm literally putting it in the black sack and throwing it in the bin. I don't want this mess.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I know. Kids, honestly. But you talk a lot on your page about fertility issues as well.
Mm.
Do you mind kind of talking us through where you're at with that?
Yeah, sure thing. So we've been trying for a second child for like 2 years now. But I think, it's a difficult one to talk about, but I think it's really important to talk about it because so many people that have miscarriages. I had a miscarriage before Aiden as well. So it's not that it was like a new thing for me. It's just this time around, it's taking a lot longer to even conceive. Unfortunately, I had a miscarriage last year.
Mm.
And it's just about keeping positive. How do you keep positive in something that you want so bad?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's really difficult, isn't it? And I think the statistic of 1 in 4 pregnancies is... like, that's ridiculously high.
Yeah,
like,
but I think it's more than that.
Yeah, probably. And, like, the same people sort of tend to, once you've had a miscarriage, it tends to, you know, you're more likely to have another one. But it's such a scary statistic.
Absolutely. I think, my only thing in my brain is, like, just keep positive, keep doing what I'm doing. Do good things as well. So, like, I try to keep healthy. Walk the dog once a day is, like, non-negotiable, like make sure that my vitamins are right, you know, eat healthy and just give myself the best chance I can. But I think you're right, maybe there is a hereditary thing because like my mum had miscarriages so perhaps there's something in it that could be like a genetic thing as well.
But they just don't know yet, do they? Like so many times they just say, sorry, it's just one of those things. But I, being a nurse, like I'm very much science minded and I'm like, surely it can't be one of those things.
And I think it must be difficult. It's just because of the time that you are always thinking about the time. You're like, oh, well, what about the age gap between my children? So if you're blessed with like the first child, for example, and then like the time in terms of like genetic time, like in terms of like having children as well, you're constantly like thinking about that. And then it's also like trying to plan ahead.
Yeah.
How do you plan for like holidays? Like, are you catering for just like a couple, one child, two children, you know, that kind of stuff. So
it
makes really things difficult. But at the same time, I just, just would like constantly need to put myself in that mind frame of like, just give it some time. It will happen when it'll happen. And...
yeah. But then when it does happen, I guess you're kind of plagued with that, like, okay, I'm pregnant, but what if? And you can't enjoy that pregnancy.
So like you're constantly in denial.
Yeah.
And you're always questioning like any single like pain and, you know, anything that might not feel right. Yeah. And you're like, well, this is different from the first pregnancy as well, you know, and this is different from all the other pregnancies I've had. Like, and you're constantly questioning everything. But at the same time, like, I just, just need to look at the positive side. I think I found when I first had a miscarriage, I found I was in a really dark place. I was putting a lot of like pressure on myself and thinking like, well, you don't deserve to be a mum, you know, that kind of like horrible speech, internal speech. But like now I'm like constantly pushing that back, specifically because I know that's harsh and that's not right, because there's always hope, like, and I know there's hope because I've had the first baby. So I've had Aiden, so surely it's a thing that like surely in time things will happen.
But I think that's what makes it really hard about secondary infertility is that you've had one and you're just like, okay, I've had one, so where's the next one, like, and so many people that I've had on my podcast before have said that you kind of feel this guilt for feeling the way you do about wanting another one because you've already got one.
So actually after listening to a previous podcast, like your podcast, I'm sorry, I can't remember her name, but she spoke about issues and they can't find any reasons for having another, not having another child. So she would always have miscarriages. But basically, I think since then, there's something that, that sort of like triggered me as well. And I thought, you know what? I'll actually, if this is it, if I'm only going to have one, I'm going to have fun. And you know what? He's so lucky. He's going to have so much for him, like financially, like property wise when he's older, university, etc. So yeah, if that's it, I'm going to take him on all the exciting holidays and things like that. So
that's such a good mindset to have and way of thinking of it. But I know it's also so hard because you always have that like in the back of your mind of
wouldn't it like, be nice to have another. Exactly, just like about pushing it back, forcing it back if you can,
definitely. But motherhood's kind of hard enough as it is without all of this extra stuff to deal with. So how has it been dealing with all of that on top of actually just motherhood in general?
Yeah, I think it really hits when, so it was my son's fourth birthday a couple of weeks ago, and the fact that he turned four, and I was like, oh, but it's like got really emotional. Oh, it'll be so nice and to expand the family and everything. But at the same time, I put my heart and soul into his party. He had like a bouncy castle, and his little face was basically all worthwhile, you know, when you see them so happy and so excited.
Oh, bless you. But I mean, I had Tara, Mama Tara Louise on my podcast, and she's got an 11-year age gap. So like you could, there's the option to keep trying.
Absolutely.
And what are your kind of thoughts with age gaps? At what point do you think maybe you'll just have Aiden?
No, I think we'll just keep going, keep trying. Like, it's funny because like me and my husband don't actually necessarily want to stop at two either, so who knows,
you're braver than me.
So like if it is in my 40s, or I have to be in my 40s, I don't know. I have so much love to give. There's no reason to just have fun and do what we're doing. And basically not put pressure on ourselves to have it now, you know, like you have to have a child now, you have to have a second one now, you know, there's that pressure of like society telling you you have to have a small age gap or you know, that kind of stuff. It's not necessarily right for everybody.
I think that's the thing is, women, is that you're constantly looking at your life in terms of time, like how much time have I got left, like how long have I got until I might not be able to have children anymore, or how long of a gap can I leave it before this happens or this happens, and looking at your career as well, because your career changes. So I feel like we have to look at our life as a whole, really, as women.
But it's also like, is it a generational thing? Like, I'm such a millennial that I honestly want things right here, right now.
Oh,
and it's the frustration probably that gets me the most.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just so frustrated. I told my best friend, I was like, I'm just bored. I just want like another project in my life.
Yeah. So. A baby project.
Yeah. Oh. So I've got hopefully an extension happening next year as well. So fingers crossed, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. You watch, your extension will start and you'll get pregnant and you'll be like, oh shit.
Like, everything comes at the same time.
Yeah.
Right? It's like buses.
Doesn't it? Exactly.
To be fair, I did get married and had a new job many years ago. Mm. At the same time, it was the same month. So imagine like the stress.
You've done this to you now. Like your extension's going to just start. They're going to like put the first brick down. You can be like, I'm pregnant. Or that's when the baby's going to be like nearly due and you're having to deal with it all at the same time. Honestly, it does all happen at once. But how has it been for you sort of dealing with all of the fertility issues with Aiden? How has he asked about having a sibling? Or
so he got a lot more interested in babies in general, where they come from, and just playing dolls as well. So we've got one doll we call Tommy. It's quite a big one. And he basically wants to brush his teeth, and he's like, this is so like pretending that there's like a mummy and a baby as well. So with different toys, getting him to like go to sleep, and he's hungry now, so feed him mummy, you know, that kind of stuff. And obviously that gets really emotional as well sometimes. And it's also the frustrations. And I do sometimes sneak an odd question in though. I'm like, would you like a sister or brother? And if so, which one?
And bless.
Yeah,
and
basically.
Is he kind of saying yes to that? Or
he has so far. He did say yes, and he's changed his mind about whether like a little sister or brother, so maybe he doesn't mind.
Honestly, my daughter, she's such a like mum. She wants to mother every child around. But my son is the opposite, and he doesn't want to be touched. He doesn't want to be mothered. He wants to be left alone. So she's like, mummy, please, can you have another baby? I'm like, absolutely not. And she's asking why, and I'm like, do I tell you it's because you two drive me insane and I can't possibly deal with another one? But she would be desperate for another baby as well. But I think when you know, like you know you want another one. I think to start off with, after I had Bailey, I felt this like grief because I knew he was my last, because I just definitely didn't want another one. And for a while I thought, is this grief because I want another one? But now I'm definitely like, absolutely not. And I'm gonna buy Alec a vasectomy for Christmas.
Oh wow.
No, that's not a very nice Christmas present, is it? But it's so different how you can have these different scales of where you are in motherhood, with like some people wanting babies, some people very much not wanting babies. So do you find that kind of triggering for you when you hear of people that don't want more, or that maybe have had a miscarriage or announcing a pregnancy? How do you find that for you, especially with social media?
Well, I don't think I find it triggering when somebody says they don't want another. That's absolutely like so personal, and everybody's got their own situation and everything, and you don't want to judge, like your life is your life. Like, you don't want to make it hard for yourself with another one, you know, that kind of stuff. But it is difficult to see other people getting pregnant left, right and centre. I think especially as me being a content creator in like, I do daily mum shorts, you know, I do loads of mum content routines, clean with these things
I
like
love
that.
Your
that,
reels, they're so funny.
Oh, thank you so much. Put my heart and soul into them. But like, it's just seeing so many other mum content creators at the same time, because it's sort of like, it's what I do, it's my hobby. At the same time, they're all having children. And it feels like everybody's having children, because you only notice the people who are currently getting pregnant, because that's what you want desperately, you know?
It's called the reticular activating system. Bit of science in there, my science brain. So you know when you think, I want a pink car or whatever, and all you see everywhere is pink cars. So it's something in your brain that makes you only notice those things. It's called the reticular activating system. So you're thinking you want a baby, so all you will notice is people getting pregnant or having babies. So that's always going to be a thing for you while you're struggling with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your brain playing tricks on you.
I see.
The naughty brain, naughty brain. So yeah, shall we go ahead and spin the wheel and see what we get for that?
Let's do it.
Okay, do you want to go ahead and spin the wheel then?
I don't want to break it.
You won't break it. You're
three,
all good.
3, 2, 1. Whee!
What are we gonna get? So, would you rather never have to do housework again, or have a child that sleeps?
Oh gosh! So my son was an awful sleeper.
Oh really?
So he was born in COVID, so we literally trained him to only sleep in our arms, which is our own fault.
Yeah.
So my husband was on furlough for about 7 months. Lucky him. Yeah. So it was literally like us both parenting this one child. But yeah, basically after that 7 months, he's gone back to work. Mm. It just meant he didn't really sleep very well.
Yeah.
Every hour he would wake up. I was breastfeeding as well. So yeah, I think he got to about month 13 when I started co-sleeping and breastfeeding finished. And I was like, right, you're sleeping or I'm going to die. So it's a tough one at the same time because like housework, you either love it or you hate it.
Yeah.
And I'll be a pain in the ass. And I'm going to tell you, I absolutely love housework.
I'm the same. It's like my therapy. I'm like, if I've had a shit day or I'm like my anxiety's really bad, Alec will know when my anxiety's bad because the house is freaking spotless. Just go around cleaning everything. And I don't think I could deal without that. You know, I think sometimes I just need that. Yeah. So
I agree. So it's quite therapeutic. It's like my nan, I think she literally had OCD on cleaning, but like my nan used to say, like, if it's a clear mind. Tidy house, clear mind.
Yeah.
I'm trying to translate from Russian here. Yeah. So I was trying to work it out.
Yeah. Is that a cool phrase in Russian?
Yeah. So I guess they've got the same, like, similar sort of phrases.
What is it in Russian? Can you remember it? Don't worry if you can't.
I think it's like чистый дом, все хорошо в голове.
Oh, I love that. That is so cool.
But yeah, basically.
Yeah, definitely. But I grew up in like quite a messy house. Like my mom wasn't the tidiest of people, bless her. And I think, and I used to love like tidying it up and stuff. So now I think that's translated into me wanting to have a really tidy house. But half of my brain is messy and half of it's tidy. So like it's an absolute nightmare. But you said about co-sleeping and like it's your own fault. And I think quite often we say we've made a rod for our own backs, but I'm like, I don't know how to feel about the whole co-sleeping and breastfeeding to sleep situation. Because I still, what's the word? Like contact, put them to sleep. They have to be cuddled to sleep.
Yeah.
And half of me is saying we've made a rod for our own backs, we've done that to ourselves, but half of me is saying this isn't going to be this way forever, and I want to make most of those cuddles. So kind of what are your thoughts on that?
I agree, and I confess my son actually absolutely loves my hair.
So I
have to have my hair next to him whilst he's falling asleep. And he's okay when I'm not around, but I'm in the house, he sort of has to have my hair when he's tired, and it's like a comfort thing as well. So I totally get where you're coming from.
My daughter fiddles with my earlobe, which is
I've heard that before.
She still does it, and she stopped doing it for a little bit, and I was actually really sad because I was like, oh, she's growing up, but she's started again now, so I'm like,
it's okay.
But some nights when I'm super tired and I just want to go to bed or just want to watch maths, I'm like, please just go to sleep on your own. But then I'm like, I really am gonna miss these cuddles. So
it's tug of war of mum guilt, I think.
Constantly
of like wanting your own space and time, but at the same time, you know, like how quickly time is flying, honestly. How are we in April?
I know, it goes so fast, doesn't it? But I put a reel on my story on my page yesterday of my husband and my three-year-old just snoring in bed next to me, and I was like, wish me luck, because I still co-sleep with my youngest as well, so I'm wondering when that's eventually gonna finish, but one day.
So that's the thing, my son always starts in his own bed but comes to us, and last night he was like, mommy, calling over. I'm like, come over here. He's like, no, I'm scared. So I sort of had to get up. I was like, come on then, come. He's got a bunk bed as well, so he comes down and gets in with us. But it's just, but it's the comfort that you know that they're not always going to want you.
I feel like I'm going to have like a 16-year-old Bailey in my bed because he just loves cuddles and like contact. And if he's in our bed and like Alec is out or whatever and he's on one side, I'm on the other, he'll just have to like have his hand on me just to know that I'm there.
Yeah, so like I feel protection.
I feel like even when he's like older, he's just going to need like that contact. Bless him.
It's like I really, really enjoyed this image that I saw. I think it must have been Facebook a while ago, but somebody asked their child to, I think it might have been school, to show a safe space.
Yeah.
And they literally drew like the bed sleeping in between their mum and dad.
That's so cute.
Yeah, it shows.
Okay, he can stay there. I don't mind. Oh, amazing. Well, on that note, could you tell everybody where we can find you on social media?
Yeah, sure thing. So my go-to places are usually YouTube and TikTok. Yeah. So YouTube, just type in my name, Alina Ghost. I do daily mum shorts just for the fun of it. Yeah. And I do two long form videos a week as well. And I go live on TikTok too. So if anybody wants to join me on Monday at 8.
You're so brave. The trolls on TikTok have scared me off of TikTok. They're brutal. Like they're a different like level of brutal to Instagram. For like, Instagram's like my little safe haven and TikTok scares the absolute bejesus out of me. Honestly. Have you had any like bad experiences with TikTok?
They're just really frank. So if they don't like something, they'll tell you about it. But and there's the, like if your video goes viral, they're really like opinionated about it as well. So my one that I was really like really surprised about, people really have something to say about people or kids using like iPads and devices. I was like, you are going on so many assumptions here. Like, although I said it's like he's on his iPad, I don't mean it's actually his iPad. You know, but at the same time, I'm going to give my child a device. You know, because we're in this modern age of technology. They might as well, like, I was even considering getting him to do web development, you know, like code at the age of like
Edurino
six.
Do a coding thing, and that's like an educational program for kids, and they teach coding. So there's so much educational stuff out there. It's like, can you just bugger off, please. Thanks. Yeah, it's so tough. Honestly, people have an opinion about everything. I had I got trolled because Bella was reading Peppa Pig books.
What's wrong with that?
Someone was like, it's too commercial, blah blah blah, and I was like, just piss off,
just move on, just keep scrolling.
But yeah, it's a wild world on social media, isn't it?
Absolutely. You get such mix of opinions and judgments as well. So I did a recent reel on judging other mums and stuff. Everybody's going through something. Don't take a snap judgment of like a few seconds of someone to judge them on their whole life. Like, and look at your own life first.
Definitely. I love that. Well, amazing. Thank you so much for traveling all the way down here. I know you've come a long way today. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome.
An honour.
Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, share, all of those things. See you next time.